This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys that invite you to rub their bellies. Yeah, go ahead, rub it.
Yeah, this is a story.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest this segment in the studio, Kathleen Goodman, who is the author of Puppy Possibilities. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you, Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Kathy, for our listeners who might not know about your book, can you describe what the book is about?
Puppy Possibilities will take you on your puppy adventure and teach you how to think like a puppy and have some fun doing it, too.
Really? Think like a puppy? Does that mean cute and silly?
Sometimes, yes. It's always good to be silly when you're dealing with puppies. Got to lighten it up a little bit. After all, we're trying to teach them how to live in our world.
Yeah, and I think communication, you know, we can't expect them to communicate in our language. We need to figure out how to communicate in theirs. So tell us, how does this book pull that off, and how is it helpful to somebody, and how will they actually start speaking the language?
Oh, talking the talk. Well, I have a whole list of directives that give you various words, and by using those words consistently and posting the list on your refrigerator so the whole family is speaking and talking the talk, if you will, to their puppy, that consistency allows the puppy to understand, oh, sit means put my bum to the ground. Off means remove my body from whatever. Leave it means, ooh, unacceptable behavior. I don't think I want to go there. And there's a voice modulation explanation with each word, and I found them to be the most successful. And you will find no is not included in my vocabulary.
Wow, I would think that would be the word that would be used the most often. Why is that not included?
Well, as humans, we tend to raise our tone of voice when it comes to saying no to the point of screaming, which is a real turnoff for puppies and children, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I hear the undercurrent. I think you and my wife would be great friends. I think my wife is the fantastic person when it comes. I mean, she works with birds as opposed to dogs, but it's all in the same pod. You know, it's all in that same. Can you really get a customer to understand, or a person in your case, a person on the other side of that wall? And that wall is the idea that, well, isn't this all for me? You know, it's all for them. You know what I mean? It's what are they getting from your language? What are they getting from your nose? What are they getting from your intensity? Right?
That's right.
Right.
That's right. You know, we tend to send mixed signals as humans. And in the world of puppies, especially with mom and their litter mates, when mom decides that, you know, no, we're not going there, she is very quick to say, knock it off, Junior. We don't do that. And it's short, sweet, and to the point. And as humans, we tend to ramble on and say things like, Junior, I said come here right now. Now, get over here. Well, if anybody talked to me like that, I certainly wouldn't come when I was called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Kathy, you talk about the modulation of the voice being every bit as important as the words being used. Can you explain what do you mean by that, and where did that philosophy come from?
Well, that must have come from my soul. I must have the heart of a puppy somewhere, because I found that in just talking with my own family members or talking with children, you notice when children want to get a word in edgewise, they get louder and louder and louder and louder, and then nobody understands what anyone is saying.
Right.
Whereas if I were calling a puppy to come to me, I want come to be the happiest thing in the world next to, well, maybe snuggling up next to me on the sofa, if that were acceptable in my home. I want them to think that it's a welcoming sound. So the voice modulation, when I say something like, leave it, it's very clear cut. My body language language changes, as I'm sure you were able to see. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I said, Junior, come, My eyebrows raise, my voice pitches up, and it sounds very welcoming, and I can easily say 99.9% of the time that puppy is going to come to me. Not only does my voice modulation change where I'm happy and welcoming, my arms open, and I look like I'm ready to receive the gift of this puppy, if you will, because these puppies that come into our lives, they're gifts. It's a once in a lifetime. You get to choose your family member. And in my book, I'm trying to bring the point across that teaching our puppies is a service to them. Teaching them what's acceptable and unacceptable in our homes is probably the greatest gift we can give them. Right. And they're just there saying, oh, I want to do anything for you. So why not give them every opportunity to succeed? And by teaching behaviors that we accept and discouraging behaviors that we are not acceptable of, it's just a win-win. The puppy learns at a very early age, and I'm talking, he's learning before you even leave that place where you get him, be it at the breeders or at the shelter. Well, you take him and let him relieve himself before you even bring him in the car to go to his new home.
Right.
When you get to that new home, before you go in the house because the kids want to show him all these great toys and the new bed and everybody's excited about this, you take him to where he's going to relieve himself. Mm-hmm. So that when you bring him into the house and he's all excited with everything that's new, well, he doesn't squat and leave that calling card or a little puddle, which nobody wants that to happen right from the get-go.
You know what I really, really love about that book is if we were dealing with cooking, okay, you can't have an abstract concept, okay? If you forget to put in the egg whites and you're trying to make a meringue, you don't get much of a meringue, you know? And in this situation, I notice, like, if you don't bring in intuition, you know, in your voice modulation, if you don't bring in, you almost need for the average person to really get down to where they're at. You can talk about these concepts that you're talking about right now, but if you don't have a how to pull it off pictorial,
yes,
it oftentimes leaves half, three quarters, you know, 75% of the people out there kind of, you know, and the other 25 say, I don't know why you can't get it. You know, but in your case, with your book, 100% of the people can go through and look at these pictorials and your conversation that you're having there, and literally no stone is left unturned. And that's what I really, really like about that book.
Well, that was the whole idea of the show and tell. When I was teaching classes many years ago through veterinary referral, I would give handouts because, you know, we're just people. And we have busy lives, and we forget. It's just a normal thing. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, I want to make it as easy for everyone. So a friend of mine who was an artist did some little pen and ink drawings for me, and people would be really surprised that they would get something other than the class time and play time and cries and brags and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And they said, gee, you know, it all makes sense. So when it came to taking that 8-week training program, if you will, and it is a show and tell, and turning that into a book because my customers and people who came and met me wanted me to expand on it and put this in a book because my husband spilled his coffee on the handout and, oh my gosh, if it were a book, maybe he'd be a little more careful. The whole show and tell idea was, well, I don't want you to make a mistake, and I want to make it easy for you and the puppy, so here's a picture that shows you how to do it, and here's a little conversation you can have with your puppy. And before you even begin to, you know, teach him how to stand, which is a great thing when you go to the veterinarian. Mm-hmm. And all you're doing is using even a little piece of the puppy's kibble when they're 8 weeks old, and you put your hand in the little tuck up at the rear flank, and that puppy kind of stretches out to get that little cookie, and you're talking to him, saying, oh, what a good boy. Oh, you are so handsome. And you're engaging the puppy not only with that food as a motivator,
yeah, right.
but the tone of your voice, that voice modulation, and you're building confidence in that puppy. And it doesn't have to be a purebred puppy. Mm-hmm. It can be the greatest mix of short and tall and fat and thin and sporting and non-sporting. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of bringing that whole bundle together.
Yeah.
Because you've planned, you've got your cookies all ready, and okay, you're not going to answer the phone, you're not going to go to the door, and you're going to practice this little simple little thing. And remember, when dogs greet themselves, they got to check the goods back there, you know, at the backside, mm-hmm. and say, mm-hmm. okay, what are you? Okay, oh, let me see who you are. Oh, this is cool. And they go into this freeze frame motion. So why not take advantage of that? That's something that's normal for them to do anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you put your hand in that little tuck up spot and have that cookie at the front end, they kind of go, oh, okay, checking me out. Okay, fine. Ooh, I got a little tidbit here. And you're offering that praise. They're like, oh, you kind of like that. And they actually, like a bird, would kind of puff himself up. I had a budgie once, and I could talk to him so sweetly, and he would just, whoo, get his plumage up, you know?
Yeah.
And the puppies would, whoo, you like that? And they just kind of stand up like, yeah. I said, ooh, stand, good stand. And that's only lasting for maybe 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, good boy. There you get the cookie. Yay, let's have some fun. And uh-huh. you break it off.
Okay.
And you would only practice that stand 3 times. 3 times for anything, because it's a lot for them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Although at 8 weeks of age, they're like little sponges.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to get everyone to take advantage. They're small. It's a small package with a lot going for it. And this is your opportunity to shape your family member.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets to do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's going to lead me to my next question. We're speaking this morning with Kathleen Goodman, the author of the book Puppy Possibilities. Kathleen, you mentioned 8 weeks of age, and I know that there is a certain period early in a puppy's life when they are a sponge and when they are imprinted with things that they will keep for the rest of their life.
Yep.
Can you talk about the stages of when training needs to take place and when you need to avoid these negative impressions from taking place? Because bottom line is, as we were talking before the show, I've seen where it's taken years to work on dogs that have been negatively imprinted, and you sometimes still cannot change these habits. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That first period of imprintation is from 8 to 10 weeks of age. And it's at that time, I have a little segment in my book where, since you are in control of this puppy and everything around it, this puppy is relying on you to teach him, right, the ways of your world. So I have some little exercises that I do with 8 to 10-week-old puppies that I have found some of the folks who have come to my classes have had issues with. Like loud noises,
mm-hmm.
Thunderclaps, and the vacuum cleaner. Vacuum mm-hmm. cleaner is a biggie. So 8 to 10 weeks, anything negative that happens to that puppy in that time frame, it's kicked back into the memory banks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't forget these things. It can be deprogrammed, but deprogramming takes a long time. And why go there if you don't have to?
Right.
So when you're in the kitchen, and this is, again, any of these instances are 100% controlled situation. You set your stage, basically. You're creating your own play. And it doesn't take a long time. So you get a frying pan lid, a saucepan lid, and you get the lid out and you put it on the floor. And you've got some, since this is kind of a big deal during imprinting, you've got some really special cookies. String cheese is great, doesn't upset a puppy's stomach, and you can break it off in teeny places.
Yeah, it smells right.
So you're down there, and you've got your cheese maybe in your pocket. We don't want the puppy to be stealing the cheese yet. And so you're tap, tap, tapping on that saucepan, and that puppy may, ooh. And you're saying, what's this? Listen to this. Look at this. Come and see. Come and see. And as soon as that puppy approaches, even if he's, you know, within 3 inches, 4 inches
mm-hmm,
away,
mm-hmm.
oh, aren't you a brave fellow? and a little bit of the treat comes out, and the puppy's like, ooh, oh, this is good. So now you're going to lift that lid, and it's going to make maybe a little clanging noise. I should have brought a lid with me. Didn't think of that. Anyway, so now you're going to make that lid clang a little bit on the floor. And the puppy may scoot back a little like, oh, don't know about that. And your tech, come on. Come and see. And you can use your food to bait that puppy over to that noise. And I think you kind of get my drift that we're getting the puppy to the point where we want him to actually touch it. And as soon as he does, the cookie gets popped to the puppy and a party ensues. And you have to learn to let your hair down with your puppies. And don't be a cheapskate with your cookies, because this is a huge deal.
Right.
You get excited and all silly, and silly is good with puppies, as I said before.
Kathy, is your book primarily for people to be used in training, or is it something that they could get while they're still deciding what kind of dog? Because the importance of the homework that goes into deciding what breed fits your lifestyle and what breeds require what is something we talk about on the show an awful lot. Is your book useful in that situation?
Oh, absolutely. I guess what you would call the consummate planner. I want to have all my little tricks of the trade available to me before I even think about getting a puppy. And I leave that decision as to what breed people want for them to go and scour the internet, go to the library, and look at all the characteristics of all the different breeds that you find pleasing to the eye. Okay? You're going to be looking at this puppy for quite a while, you know, 15 years if you're real lucky with some of the smaller breeds. But then you want to think about, well, not necessarily what's in vogue, but what about coat condition? What about temperament? What about energy level? Do you live in an apartment? Well, you may want to think about the smaller breeds.
Yeah. A lot of things to consider, and that's the point of it. We've been talking this morning with Kathleen Goodman, the author of the book Puppy Possibilities. And Kathleen, we've just really started scratching the surface. We'd love to have you come back on the show and continue the conversation.
Anytime. Well, I'm happy to be here.
Well, we appreciate your coming in. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with Tanya Johnson, who is a puppy trainer out at Joey's Pet Outfitters, right after the break, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
So many.